Well, we've read about Saul seeking the life of David. Now, this is quite a common theme in the historical records. Saul sought David's life. It's quite clear. 1 Samuel 20, verse 1, 1 Samuel 25, verse 29, 2 Samuel 4, 8, when they bring the head of Ishbosheth to David to Hebron, and they say to the king, "Here's the head of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, your enemy who sought your life." This is really quite clear. Saul was the one seeking the life of David. When you come to the Psalms, you find again and again David ranting and raving and asking God to bring judgment upon those who seek my life. Many Psalms use that very same phrase. Psalm 35, Psalm 40, Psalm 54, Psalm 70, Psalm 86, lots of them. They keep making this point that David wanted to see judgment, pretty awful judgment, upon the heads of those who seek my life. So he clearly has Saul in view, because Saul is the one, it's the same phrase that's used in the historical records, Saul is the one who sought his life. So there he is in the Psalms, imprecating this huge judgment upon Saul, basically, and Saul's family and followers, those who seek my life, wanting them to be punished, wanting them to be judged by God. And yet, he also has a great patient love for Saul. You get that impression. He has this love for Saul. And when Saul dies, he is genuinely heartbroken. And that lament that he makes in 2 Samuel 1 over Saul, that is no mere political kind of theatricism. That was from the heart. He absolutely, absolutely wanted the judgment to not have come upon Saul, and when it did, he was heartbroken. And whenever anyone does anything against the house of Saul, after David becomes king, he really judges them very harshly. He really goes out of his way to show that, look, I truly have no bad feeling against the house of Saul. I love you, I forgive, I accept you. And yet, in these Psalms, where we see the sort of inner thinking of David, he is asking God to judge those who seek my life and judge them very harshly. And yet when he has the chance to do that himself after Saul is dead, he doesn't actually do so. In fact, the opposite, he judges harshly those who do anything against the house of Saul. Now, what are we to make of this? I think it could be no more than this, that you can have quite contradictory feelings about a person or a situation. And you may feel very angry with the person who actually you love. You may really feel angry against persons whom you have forgiven. And that is true to human experience. And that is where the Bible is so true all the way through, that this is not a cunningly devised fable. This is an absolutely psychologically credible document, quite unlike the other sort of literature that was produced at the time the Bible was produced, which are fantasies and obvious exaggerations and glorifying people as if they did nothing wrong and were only fantastic and wonderful and awesome. That is how it is. You can love and feel great pity for the very person whom in your heart you are angry with. But I think, therefore, it's the more commendable that finally, when David is in power and he has the chance to kill these people who had sought his life, he doesn't. Because it was not only Saul who was seeking his life. Saul had supporters, a significant amount of support. And he did not go chasing David alone. He had other people with him, and a significant number. And yet David is so careful to try to bind them together with the rest of Israel after Saul dies. He judges harshly those who say that they had killed Ishbosheth, the the son of Saul. He's very protective of the family of Jonathan, as he had promised to be. He goes out of his way to try to find people from the house of Saul to whom he might show grace and mercy. And yet he has said in his heart to God, and it's recorded in the Psalms, how he really wants to seek judgment upon those that seek my life. That is Saul and his family and his supporters. So I think how David achieved that turnaround from anger to grace was because he had opened his heart about his feelings to God. When you read those Psalms that we could call the imprecatory Psalms, that is where David is ranting and raving and wanting God to judge these people who are seeking my life and do pretty horrible things to them and wipe out their kids and all the rest of it. You could say that, look, that's how he felt. And David was thinking, this is how I feel. I'm not going to hide that from God. Instead, I will tell it to God. This was the openness, the transparency that he had with God. I mean, if you are sitting there or lying there or walking down that street feeling anger about a certain person, it's no good thinking, oh, well, I don't think I can really pray to God. I feel so angry with Johnny, or I feel so angry with Susie, or whoever it might be. I can't pray to God in this frame of mind. Why not? Do you really think that you can hide your feelings from God? He knows them. So one take on those, as I say, these imprecatory psalms could be that David is thinking, look, this is how I feel. And so what's the point of hiding it from God? Let me tell it to God. And so he tells God how he feels, even though how he is feeling is not very nice. Bloodthirsty and bitter and angry and the rest of it. But he tells that to God. He opens himself up to God and tells him how he's feeling. Now, that is quite a challenge. I think it's absolutely legitimate that we should do that. Of course, it's wrong that we have these bad feelings, etc. I can't imagine Jesus quite feeling the way that David did in some of those imprecatory psalms. But all the same, that's how David felt. And so he opened himself up to God. And so in the final analysis, God helped him. Because he was so honest about his feelings and what he was feeling, etc., he didn't try to hide it from God, didn't think, oh, I can't possibly tell this to God. Well, why not? That's implying that God sort of won't notice unless you tell him. God knows all things. God knows absolutely everything, and he searches the hearts of man. He knows exactly what is in the heart of every human being, and he searches and pokes around within the hearts or the minds of people. So seeing that God knows that, I think David therefore tells that to God. And so you then see that God made that change. He gave David the change that I suppose David wanted. Why do I say David wanted it? Well, because David says these things to God, he opens his heart to God, because I guess he's not happy with how he is, so he thinks, well, I must tell God about this. And if you want to change from the way of bitterness and the way of resentment against those who've, as it were, sought your life, well, God will help you. And David is the prime example of this. And as I say, that would explain why, on a sort of human level, he has these apparently contradictory feelings. I mean, there's a psalm where he reflects on his feelings about Saul, and he said, when he was sick, I prayed for him and I even fasted for him. That's how much he genuinely wanted Saul to get better. Perhaps he refers to the mental issues that Saul had from the evil spirit from the Lord that he tried to cure by playing his harp. But he says, you know, I prayed and fasted for him. And when he died, he says, I bowed down heavily as a man who mourns for his mother. Now, why a man mourning for his mother and not a father for a son, or a son for a father, or a mother for her son? Why did he weep as a man mourns for his mother? I suggest it is because in the grief of a man, an adult man, for his mother, there is there an element of I didn't appreciate her as I should have done. I didn't tell her my appreciation and my love while she was alive, and now it's too late. And I think that's why he uses that particular image, because he's saying, look, I didn't appreciate Saul as I should have done. I was too tough on him. Well, he wasn't too tough on him in how he actually treated him. I mean, he could have killed him twice, and he doesn't. He will not stretch forth his hand upon the Lord's anointed. But I presume that he's referring then to those psalms of judgment where he asks God to judge those who seek my life. And now he realizes that God has done that. And you have to be careful what you pray for, because it will come true in one form or another. So it's a great pattern, really. It's a great pattern to follow with David. We all have these feelings which we are not proud of. We all have stuff in our hearts that we're not proud of. And what David does is not try and hide that from God, because who can hide anything from God, from the God who pokes around and sifts through human thoughts and feelings? Instead, he tells this to God. And I'm suggesting that his telling of it to God was because he didn't like it. He wanted God to help him. And God does, because God, through the Holy Spirit now in our time, can do psychological miracles. Like with Joseph, he made him forget all the pain that he had in his father's house, he says. God can do that. God can work directly on the human heart, on the human spirit, through his spirit. He really can. And I really believe that in the life of David you see that, because he really, for all his various failings, he did come to forgiveness, and he did come to a great grace towards those who sought his life.